Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by our SewHere.com members. This podcast and our community is mostly funded by the support of listeners like you. If you love the podcast, check out SewHere.com/membership to see how you can keep it in your ears for years to come and get fun stuff to boot.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
Well, we were just having a tiny argument. Tiny argument beforehand. This podcast is about tiny hems.
And when somebody says tiny hems,
what do you think of, Mom?
I think of tiny bubbles.
Do you have a story about tiny bubbles?
I kind of do, and it's kind of cute.
Go ahead.
So that was sung by Don Ho, if anybody knows it. He was like a Hawaiian singer, and he had a ukulele. Okay. I'm dating myself, and you can all probably look him up on Facebook. Google.
So over 60. Hashtag so over 60.
So much over 60. Oh, man. I'm on the downhill
it's
side.
Almost your birthday.
Yeah, I'm close to 70.
Yeah.
It's really scary.
Yeah.
And I won't be a sextagenarian anymore. And that's what bothers me the most, that I will have to be a septagenarian.
You mentioned that a couple times.
I know. It really, because it bothers me. I think about it all the time.
So, back to tiny bubbles.
So this was actually a neighbor of my cousin's, and this is when our cousin Jill, was tiny, right?
Yes.
And anyway, this little girl loved the song Tiny Bubbles, but she thought it was Heiny Bubbles, okay? It was so cute. And she would sing Heiny Bubbles. And they're taking a bath one day together, the two little girls, and the one little, Jill stands up and she has bubbles all over her butt because it was a bubble bath, and the little girl goes, Heiny Bubbles! So it's really cute.
Heiny Bubbles could be like a really good euphemism for, you know, passing gas, too.
Oh, that?
You didn't think of that?
No.
Oh.
I don't think of flatulent
as bubble,
as tiny or petite. It's more like the elephant blew the room out, you know, kind of thing.
Anyway, okay. The reason I, you know, for those
tiny
of you,
bubbles, I'm gonna start using that though.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, you know, Mom has Crohn's disease. We talk about bodily functions a lot.
Listen, so before I ever was diagnosed with Crohn's disease,
we talked about
bodily functions.
Okay, well, this podcast is about tiny hems, and I just want to say, before you say something, Mom, we have a blog post and a video on this, and the blog post is, like, really concise. It's like, how to do this, you know? And all the comments on the blog posts are like, this is so clear and concise and blah, 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 blah. So we thought in the podcast.
So they became successful.
But what I want to say is in the podcast, we decided to start out with a completely unrelated story. Okay. So you can
call this podcast Heiny Bubbles or Tiny
Hems or whatever. You know. All right. So we got our little tangent in there. But that's
Oh, my
funny.
God. I wrote down Tiny Bubbles instead of Tiny Hems in my notebook.
Okay, so there is, we're going to describe these techniques, and like I said, there's already a podcast, and there's already, there's not a podcast. I mean, now there is.
There will
be. Now that you're listening.
Now that you're listening, there's a podcast. Right.
Now that Sam Bam's got this up. But anyway, there is a blog post and a video of these techniques, but I kind of think it's fun to have a sewing podcast. Of course, I've mentioned this before, because if you're in the car, you can kind of be like, oh, okay, I know about this technique right now. And then if you don't get it, you can go watch the video. You know. Like when I listen to my decluttering podcast while I'm driving in the car, I'm not decluttering at the moment.
Right.
But
here's another thing. Even if you're doing tiny hymns, or you've, you know, looked at our videos, or you've read our, and you've done them, and you've been somewhat successful, this is what happens to me. If I haven't done something for a while, I might forget one little thing. Do you know what I mean? Or something, one little part of the technique that I sit down and maybe I don't remember it till I'm halfway into the hymn, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's how we used to do it.
Well, kind of thing. Julianne.
So re-listening is a good idea.
Julianne says, wonderfully done and brilliantly supported with descriptive narration and text. Thanks for and congratulations on a job well done and a resource I will refer to again and again. So, yeah.
Did we have to pay her?
No, we didn't. Oh, we didn't have to pay her.
Good.
I don't know if that's Julianne.
Which Julianne?
Yeah, I guess I can't say for sure right now. Anyway, okay, so let's get on this. Tiny hems, these techniques, when we say tiny hems, they are for lightweight fabrics. In fact, the title we give to some of the techniques are things like bridesmaid hem.
Bridesmaid hem. Sundress hem. I'm trying to think.
We have bridesmaid hem one, bridesmaid hem two, serger tiny hem, sheer tiny hem.
Right.
So this is for like satiny fabrics, silky fabrics, if you are hemming a formal for someone.
Something that you don't want to add weight to, or there's no necessity to add weight
to. There you go.
And one of these things might be like a ruffle or a flounce, too.
Very true.
So think about that, especially like, say, on the front of a shirt, you have a flounce or a ruffle. How are you going to hem that? Now, one way you can on your serger, do like
decorative
rolled hem or something like that. But maybe you don't. Maybe you want sort of something that's not going to show up.
Or, so one thing I like about this, one thing I like about us, and one thing I like about the thing I do is this does cover some different equipment.
Yes, it does.
If you have this machine or not this machine or this or that, I think.
And yet you can do it with a basic sewing machine.
Yes, you can do it with a basic sewing machine, or if you have a serger, or let's pretend your serger just isn't handling some fabric well, because we are spoiled. We know that. We've got really top of the line equipment.
Right.
So sometimes we're able to do things that people are like, oh, well, I don't have a cover stitch,
right,
or I don't have a this. And, you know, we give you kind of a full range of things.
And I think another thing that we do that I like about us is we will combine. let's see. How much do I like myself
like
today?
Ourselves. Yeah.
Hey, I deserve to like myself once in a while.
Yeah, well, no, it's good. You should like yourself too, people who are listening.
We will use a combination of machines.
Yes.
So it's like, well, yeah, you can use a 3-thread to finish this, but when you flip it over, you know, you top stitch it on your regular machine.
Right.
So sometimes it's a combo.
Okay. So now let's talk about in the beginning of the blog post, I give some general considerations about all these techniques. So let's get those out of the way. First of all, and this is really big, this is maybe a place where we get a little controversial.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Especially, am I going to get excited on that?
Yes, you're going to love it.
I've been excited about a couple things today. I'll
let her go on a rant, okay? For these tiny hems especially, we do not recommend pressing the hem in place before you sew.
So you can press the fabric flat if you like.
Yep.
Okay. But a lot of these hems are also on a curve. So you also want to be careful that you're not when I say press, lift up the iron and press down.
Don't
do the back and forth sliding. You will contort the weave,
your
threads.
You said on a curve. So
right.
Most hems, you know, are slightly curved at some point.
And some can be really curved.
And then I think that a lot of people like to use the iron to give themselves a sense of control.
I think they think it's security, and it's not.
They're like, oh, well, press it in place first, and then you can sew it.
And it's not.
I mean, you can press it in place first and then sew it, but you can get an undesirable result, okay, on a hem like this.
Right.
So we press in hems on jeans first.
Right.
This is a really stable fabric that you're not going to get like a lot of distortion on. Right. Maybe on something like a canvas.
Sometimes like a home deck or a like a deck. Bag or something like that. Yes.
But on.
It's almost not a hem as much as a fold sometimes, yeah. Maybe.
So on this. We're not pressing beforehand, okay? No. And this is, ZD doesn't press, like, on a blind hem beforehand, so, generally.
I don't think we exactly gave reasoning for this all the time, other than it distorts. But, so, let me talk about this a little bit.
I'll let you talk about
it. So, if I have a curve, and I'm trying to press up, like, exactly 1/2 inch or whatever it is, yeah. Right? 2 centimeters or whatever. Here's what's going on, you guys. I cannot press it up this. Okay. Because it's curved, the outside edge is greater than where I'm turning up to.
Yeah.
Okay. So somewhere that has to be eased in.
Yes.
Your sewing machine will do this for you.
Yeah.
With the techniques we describe and the way we tell you to do it, that will happen with sewing. There is no way to do that. In a pristine, sort of even way with
and
pressing. And then once you press, here's the deal. Your mistake is made.
Yeah.
So if you sew it wrong, it can come out. If you press, you've screwed yourself.
And the other thing about these tiny hem techniques is they are tiny. Okay?
Oh,
this
yeah.
This isn't.
Don't burn your little fingers.
Yeah. So you can't press it up. And the other thing is it's not put a 2-inch hem in a bridesmaid's dress technique. You know?
Right.
It's not facing or anything. So it all works together.
I mean, there is.
Okay? All of these considerations work together.
This is like, I don't want to say scientifically proven, but.
It is scientific.
What I'm telling you are the reasons, and that's why it works. That's why I went, oh, no, I've got to. You know, press it up. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You just don't. And I probably have not pressed in a hem since I was in high school. And that was 1/2 a century ago. So
it was a long time.
And
ago.
I do some pretty nice hems.
1/2 a century. Yeah, you do. So the next consideration that we want to take into consideration is that all hems are sewn from the right side of the fabric, the top, the
right.
Pretty side of the garment.
So you want your public side,
yes.
To have your public stitch.
Yes.
Because your bobbin side is not the prettiest part of your stitch.
Yes. So the, you know, I would have sometimes people come in, man, people would sometimes just get fixated. I swear they never looked at anything so closely in their life, you know,
right.
But they'd come in after the machine was serviced, but the back of my stitch is a little wavy. Well,
it's because the stitch is not really straight, actually, guys.
That's
straight
right.
Stitch isn't really straight.
So your needle thread, you know, gets to move forward and be put down, you know, point after point. Mm-hmm. But your bobbin thread, really, when you look at how it works, it sort of slightly wraps around.
It's coming from the side, which
yeah.
Means it's not coming straight up.
Right. So it may not, and it depends on the fabric.
And it doesn't mean it's wrong.
No,
this is the stitch.
But especially on these thinner fabrics,
mm-hmm.
you can see that wrapping
and
happen.
It's usually not as flat.
Yes.
Okay. And it doesn't look as straight.
But when you sew through like a million layers of fabric or you sew
right.
through something a little thicker, that wrap kind of gets hidden in the layers.
That's true.
You don't see it mm-hmm. as well. So especially on these thinner fabrics, it can appear that your bobbin looks slightly
wavy. Right. And honestly, it's supposed to. Like every stitch is at, every bobbin stitch is at this minute angle. Minute. It's the same. It should be the same minute angle.
Yeah.
Okay. And the top is straight.
Yes. So make sure to sew from the top. This is a big, I don't know if we've done an episode on your pet peeves. I believe we have. But you top stitch.
Well, we're talking couture here.
Yeah. Top stitch from the top. We hem from the top. So when you can't see what you're folding under, you need to define your landmark where you know to place your fabric so that you're catching
That's
your
right.
hem. Okay. And that really actually, I think it's easier on it.
Well,
itty bitty hem.
A landmark is what you want no matter when you're sewing anyway.
Where you are.
Now, I do have another technique. And if you're a phlebotomist or a nurse or someone who likes to feel things, I can feel hems sometimes, and that's important to me. I can feel the layers.
Okay, and we do some things in these techniques that help you feel, too. Right. So that is nice. Okay, so all the hems are a half-inch hem allowance, too. So in case we, come up against that, everything we have you leave here is a half-inch hem allowance. So like we said, tiny, okay?
And the hem will get tinier than a half-inch.
Yeah, that's right. So that's a hem allowance
That's the allowance, right. Yeah, that's so what you want to work with.
When you're marking a hem, you say, oh, I want it this long, and then you cut it
a half inch longer,
okay, is what you want. And then we do say, of course, that you should press or steam your hem after you sew.
Right.
But don't, once again, rub the iron back and forth across the work, okay? So that those are those general considerations that are in the beginning of the blog post that we want you to know about. Okay, how many tiny hems do we have here? We've got four. I guess we should cover maybe at least one before we take a break. Okay, so this is bridesmaid's hem number one, and this is on the sewing machine.
Yes.
Okay, the conventional sewing machine.
Don't need any special equipment for
that's
this.
Right. So you want to make sure that you use the needle that's appropriate for your fabric. I think that's one thing that we don't actually really cover here, which would be nice.
You know, somebody asked me about, I think it was actually on the serger or something, somebody asked on our Facebook page, and they said, what needle would you use here? Because they're complaining about their stitch. And I said, I don't want to sound flip.
Right.
But whatever works.
Yeah.
I said, I would start out with a stretch needle in that particular. But sometimes it's whatever works.
Right.
It's the needle that works,
So,
and a new one.
I'd say, you can give your universal needle a try. With these fabrics, we in our videos, we're doing this on isn't it my wedding dress fabric?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
and we used a really small needle too. I think we used a 70 or a 60.
I think a 70 is what we used.
Okay.
Microtechs are often really good for these types of things.
They're sharp.
Real sharp. But once again, you may actually want a stretch needle if it's, a lot of these dresses now have some stretch incorporated into them. So give that a test. We say that in the beginning. We
test,
say that,
test, guys.
So what you do here is you're going to do your first pass through. This is where we give you a kind of a fold line, kind of something to feel. So the blog post.
It's also a stay stitch.
Yes.
Stabilizes the area.
So, and it's a stay stitch that is short. So we say to set your machine to a 2 millimeter straight stitch and stitch all the way around your hem 1/4 inch away from your raw edge. So this is just, you could move your needle all the way over to the right and maybe use the edge of your presser foot.
Which is generally what I do.
Yeah.
Because I like the way it's held there, too.
Yes. So this is, when you move your needle all the way, let's pretend it's your normal, zigzag presser foot that covers the whole feed dogs, right?
Right.
And you move your needle over to the right, and then you put your fabric under there, and probably the edge of your foot, or maybe a little past the edge of your foot is 1/4 inch. You need to measure that and find your landmark. That puts your fabric on the feed dogs as much as possible, right?
Right. And the foot, if you look at how the foot has a slot in it. So you move the needle over, and then that needle, the top, is supported on 3 sides.
That's right.
Versus being in the middle of the foot where it's only supported. Sometimes it's only supported, on the backside because the slot's there.
Yeah.
It depends on your foot. Then
So your foot and your throat plate. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
So the needle is being inserted. It's almost like if you have a straight stitch plate that only has that center hole. It's very supportive.
You get supporting, 360 degrees. Well, here, you're only minus 1/4 of that, which is
that 270.
It's minus 90. So what is that?
270.
Yeah.
So you're getting that support. So when you move the needle over to the right, you're getting the fabric all on the feed dogs, and then you're getting the fabric supported and the needle surrounded and everything.
Right.
So that can be really nice. So you're going, and we say this to, move your needle, do whatever works for you, and watch that stationary guide. So you're going to watch the edge of your fabric move along.
Do not watch your needle.
Don't watch your needle. No need to do that. And then you're going to go all the way around your hem, and you don't need to backstitch, right? You're just going to...
I just stitch right over the other stitching.
Stitch over previous stitching, cut the thread. You're going to sew this again.
Right.
You stitched over previous stitching.
This is a stay stitch and a landmark.
Right.
It's basically a new landmark, basically.
Yes. So now you've gotten this, quarter inch line, this line of stitching, it's a quarter inch away from the edge of your fabric. And we say it's almost like we've given you like a perforated folding line.
Right.
Okay. So now you're going to change
Or scored, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Scored. Or
people who do paper and scrapbooking, they score things. Right.
So now you're going to change your straight stitch to a 3 millimeter, and you're going to fold your fabric at the stitching line, mm-hmm. okay, that you made already. And you're going to fold again.
So you fold twice.
So you're folding twice now.
So that stitching line you made is actually not showing at all, that first one.
That's
it
right.
is in the fold, and you can't see it anymore.
You can't see it yet from right. from the, you know, from the outside of the garment.
Right.
This does take a little bit more dexterity. I don't know. There's like another one in here where you just like serge it and flip it. You know?
Well, some people will sew this twice.
Yes.
I don't like to sew it twice if I don't have to. If I really, really thought I had to, I would learn to sew it just that, you know, one last time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you're not adding bulk. You're staying away from possibly rippling again.
Actually, that's our hem number two is what you're
is
describing.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So we have described that uh-huh. in here. Another thing we haven't mentioned, and I don't know if it's in here, is the type of thread you're going to use.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now,
good thing to talk about.
Construction thread's okay. You're going to want to use matching thread, of course, matching color probably.
But okay, finally, this is where we use matching thread.
We use matching thread.
And I'll put it in the bobbin, I will.
Yeah,
okay?
Even match, the bobbin sometimes.
I'll match,
yeah.
match, right. Okay?
But I really prefer machine embroidery thread,
yeah.
whether it be cotton or
the poly or
the
rayon.
Poly or the rayon, because it's lighter and it lays smoother. And if you've listened to Buttonhole,
yep.
right, we talk about using those types of decorative threads there also. So this hem isn't going to get any stress.
No.
Okay?
No.
And that, you know, that's the perfect thread part.
So
you're not going to be like suspending someone from the ceiling by the seam.
That's a reason to use embroidery thread. It's the lightest weight. It will lay nicely mm-hmm. and there is no stress.
And
you know?
For most people who have an embroidery machine, mm-hmm. okay, or use any sort of decorative threads like this, the color variety is immense.
Oh, of course, yes.
Is immense.
And
it's one reason that we don't have every color of construction thread.
Right.
Because we know if it shows, we can probably use an embroidery
thread.
Yeah,
a lot of times something that shows can be a less strong thread.
Right.
Because you've already seamed and then you're top
right.
stitching or something.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this double fold, this is where the video really comes in handy. ZD kind of shows you the method of double folding, stopping and readjusting as needed, okay, in order
in
to...
In whatever you do, not just this hem, anytime you're sewing.
That's right. Okay, so this line of stitching, the second line of stitching is also supposed to kind of be about a quarter inch away.
Right. You certainly want
to
make sure you're
going
through your layers.
Yes.
And that's where feel sometimes comes in or, mm-hmm. or whatever. And, you know, you want a nice hem. It usually the presser foot works for me again. Because you folded,
yes.
you've added width.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you've started with the edge of the presser foot and you fold twice, you've actually added width in there. Even if it's not discernible by
right.
your eye, you will notice it when you put it under the foot.
One thing we included in one of the zines, and it's not in this article, but if you are doing a really large garment, I'm just picturing like a formal with a really full skirt or something, hanging the garment up on your ceiling or using an IV pole mm-hmm. can be really nice. If you put it on a hanger that kind of rotates,
right.
you can adjust the garment and the weight will be taken off.
We actually have hooks that rotate.
Yes, we have hooks that rotate.
So,
in fact,
they're no big deal. They're easily purchased
yeah.
at, you know, any place. I mean,
I think I've included them in a couple
of
blog
posts.
Do
you have them?
Yes.
It takes the weight off. You can scoop away all those extra layers
yes.
if there's any.
Yes.
You don't wind up sewing something onto another layer
yes.
or something like that. So and not,
keeps it clean.
It doesn't even have to be like a big thing, but sometimes even just a long, like a
no,
long,
long
dress.
Yeah,
yeah,
it doesn't have to be heavy.
It doesn't particularly have to be bulky
yes.
or anything. Right.
So, but the IV pole is great if you can't put something in your ceiling or that doesn't, you know,
right.
like work for you. The IV pole is awesome. So you are you're just folding up twice and stitching over it again with a little longer stitch length with a 3 yeah. millimeter.
Now okay? You can go 3. Now, why not 4? Well, you could go 4 if this is a straight hem.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're still going around a curve. Yeah,
probably,
okay?
Yes.
So you probably want to, I would start out trying my 3.
So 3 is longer than the default of 2.5, mm-hmm. okay? But still not super
long. It's
not
as tight.
Yes.
Well, and you, if you're hemming, I would assume you have some scrap fabric.
Yeah.
And this is what you should be,
this
you know,
is a nice
you should
thing
be
to
testing.
Practice on.
So even if this is a ready to wear, you know, prom dress, you're rehemming for someone, obviously you would have to have cut something off.
And then you say again here, stitch over the previous stitching to
right.
secure and trim threads. You could, if you know, if you don't want to backstitch, you could bring your stitch length down a little bit to go over
yeah.
previous stitching if you want to make sure it was really
you know,
secure. But
I just haven't had trouble as
no.
long as I go over the previous stitching.
Yeah,
it
it's
works.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay, and then bridesmaid's hem too, that we'll just cover this before we take a break, is basically what we say is if folding the fabric twice to enclose the raw edge is too difficult for you, either because of the nature of your fabric or lack of practice, do the hem in 3 steps
right.
instead of 2.
And this is really important. I think one thing here is to use that lighter thread.
Yeah. Well,
if
yes,
you can.
If you're doing
that, this would be the place to really hope you have. If you don't, I'm telling you, nobody's going to know.
Right.
But you will get a better finish.
Okay, except.
Especially if it's on a hem down at the floor.
Okay.
Now, if this is on a hem, like, you know, yeah. like with a ruffle on your blouse, maybe then it does make a difference.
Okay. Our construction thread that we recommend, like the Mettler Metrazine
right.
thread, it lays nicer.
It lays very nice.
Than.
Anything out there.
Man, I have seen people bring in, I mean, it's called yeah. sewing thread. I don't blame them for buying it. But when they come in,
but
and
once
I
talk to them about it, I do blame them. Go ahead.
Yeah, their thread is so
fuzzy,
bulky, and fuzzy,
bulky, bumpy.
And it doesn't look good.
Honestly, you can take just a magnifying glass and put
yeah.
down a good piece of thread and a lousy piece of thread, and you can see the difference.
Well, you don't need a magnifying glass in some.
Well,
of
you
stuff.
Don't always, but I mean, you will really see the lumps and bumps. The other thing you can use here, and I don't, is you could use serger thread.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to construct that garment with serger thread.
No.
The serger thread is meant to be used with multiple threads. But again, you may have a color that you like
right.
that works here and doesn't add bulk.
Yeah. So what you're going to see on this hem is, so you're going to do that, like, that first pass through that's like that perforation line.
Which is your stay stitching perforation line.
Yes. And so that's at 2 millimeters, okay? But then your second pass through and your third pass through, we put that up to 3.
Right.
So we don't add bulk.
Right.
Okay? And so what you'll see on the top side, on the public side, is just one line of stitching.
Mm-hmm.
But on the bottom, you will see 2 lines of stitching.
You will see 2 lines of stitching.
Okay? So it's not quite as ideal, but even for someone like us, we choose these techniques based on materials as well.
Right.
And there are some fabrics that are just super hard to handle.
And I call those Halloween fabrics a lot of times because they're,
yeah.
sometimes they're like brittle,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they don't like to fold nice and they're hard to handle.
Or I'm thinking something that's super soft and slippery.
Well, that's, see, I don't have as much trouble with soft as I do with like that. Friable feel.
Yeah. No, I agree. I know what you're saying, but
right.
I think that you should feel empowered to do that. But know that ZD and I, the reason we have all these techniques is because we feel the fabric and we go, oh, this
and
might
we've
work
used
a little
all of
better.
Them.
You know,
or we
this.
Tried to use our
we
preferred
tested?
Technique
yes.
and it was like, this is not working or this is going to take me 100 years
yes.
and I'm still not going to
like
it.
I'm not successful.
I need to go someplace else with this.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll come back and we'll talk about our other 2 tiny hem techniques. Hello there, you fabulous sewing machine. Did you know that our podcasts and Facebook group are mostly funded by our fabulous members? We have corporate sponsors, but our individual members are the people who ensure that we can keep producing our quirky, inclusive, sometimes slightly offbeat sewing media.
You can support the sewing media you love starting at $1.50 per month. As you go up the scale, you get perks like a universal wardrobe planner, the So Long and So Happy zine, access to patterns and discounted classes, and even a monthly live broadcast from Mallory and me.
We are so thankful for our past, present, and future members. Any level of membership is helpful toward producing our podcasts, videos, and the time it takes to moderate our growing Facebook community. Go to sewhere.com/membership to check it out.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
And we're back. All right. So,
can I go on a tangent?
I guess.
I just would like to take a poll of how many people do you know that can talk about hems for an hour?
Yeah, I know. Hems and buttonholes. Don't stop whispering into the microphone.
Don't
ask me. You're getting cute. You're doing your cute stuff. You're like, yeah. By the way.
By the way. Okay. And then if you want me to talk about needles, I can go on for days. But
we've
anyway.
Already got two podcasts on needles, but I thought, I don't.
Happens is we do a podcast on needles, and then they create a new needle product.
Yeah, we've done at least three, but we did a two-parter at one point. Okay, so let's move on to the serger tiny hem. This is actually the only serger involvement we have
on this blog post. Okay,
I will say our sergers do a really good job on many fabrics, not all fabrics,
right?
With the rolled edge. The three-thread
right.
rolled edge will actually take care of a lot of these for us.
Yes.
But we know that not everybody has those.
Or even what they call the three-thread hem.
The rolled hem, yeah.
Well, no, there's like a flat hem stitch.
Okay, call it the rolled hem, even though it's flatter.
They do?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So there's the rolled edge and the rolled hem.
I see.
Yeah, it's confused. I wish it wasn't called that. Well, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. And they may do that because of the mechanics of it and how
you
the finger
use
drops.
Yes, right. Exactly. Okay, so the serger tiny hem, I will say this is one of my favorite things to do. It's really...
I probably use this 80% of the time?
This is how I finish all the hems, even the neckline, on a lot of my easy tees.
Well, that's right. I mean, knits, it's perfect for... You know, and
well, I wouldn't finish a neckline and a knit like this. So let me clarify. You've just serged and turned and straight stitched.
I don't straight stitch. I do a zigzag. You know, like a limited zigzag, maybe like a 1.5.
Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah.
But I've been known to do that a lot.
On the easy tee, like on the woven easy tee, just two of them that I wore this week.
Right.
One's linen and one is rayon, and I just serge turned it up. So let's talk about this. So you're going to use the three-thread overlock narrow to finish your hem. Just you're
3TN.
3TN. You're going to cut off a quarter inch as you serge. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So we've left our half-inch hem allowance that we mm-hmm. said we were going to leave, and your serger always does a nicer job making that edge when it gets
right.
to cut the fabric itself.
Right, and I will talk about a cheat here.
Yeah,
sort of.
I know what you're going to say.
Do you? Well, sometimes I don't do quite a quarter inch.
Oh, okay.
But I do, it's on the serger. It depends on what serger I'm on, too. But, you know, it's like I just let it breeze past that blade. So I might just be taking off a few threads off of the bottom of that, which winds up being a quarter inch.
Yeah, cut. Just make sure you're cutting just
a
little
off. So it
might
be a scant quarter inch.
Okay. That's not what I thought you were going to say. But anyway, so I won't say the other thing.
I know something else I don't know about.
Now, we recommend on your 3TN, your stitch length is a place where you can play on your serger a little bit.
You will probably need to play on your serger with this. Get your scrap fabric that's exactly the same as the fabric you're using. And if you're on a curve, I would cut it on a curve.
Yeah, yeah. And we say that in the beginning. We're like, cut yourself a straight and curved piece or whatever. When you are doing your 3TN, you do want to like kind of, you know, enclose the edge of your fabric so that there's not a bunch of pokies coming out.
And that is, we've used that term over and over, the pokies, which means that thread that's coming over the edge, it stays smooth. It's very burnished. It's very pristine. And you don't have little pokes coming out of the thread that's just been cut off.
But on the same note, you don't want a buildup of thread.
No.
So we say the statement
it shouldn't look like a satin stitch, probably.
Use the longest length stitch you can while still keeping the edge of your fabric neat. So like our serger goes from, you know, like whatever, 0.5 to 4 millimeters long. So I would definitely try to start around 2.5.
I was going to say I'd start at 2.5 or 3.
And then try and go up as much as I can because you don't want a bunch of thread buildup.
Right.
You already are going to have 3 threads.
Right.
Okay.
Before you even start,
that's right.
You know, you turn up Tim, you have 3 threads.
That's right. And so,
and again, here you can use a serger thread, or you could use your embroidery threads.
That's
everybody,
you can
those
put
nice, fine, and embroidery threads do a great job here.
You can put the embroidery, the machine embroidery thread, in the needle and the loopers.
Right.
Okay. And you can wind a bobbin if you don't have 3 spools.
I was just going to say, I don't have 3 spools. So you wind a bobbin with that on there. And then usually you have to throw that bobbin in like a cup or something.
Yeah.
To be held.
Also, I remember being with somebody in the shop for good 25 minutes trying to pick the perfect embroidery thread for her eggplant mother of the bride dress.
And her hem was at the floor, right?
Yeah,
her hem was. Where no one was going to be, and it was probably going to get dirty anyway.
Is this alteration up at your neckline? She's like, no. So the hem was on the floor. No. Also,
no, the best part is they take it out into the sun.
That
and
is exactly
did. I always wanted to say, so is your daughter's evening wedding in the bright sunlight?
Yeah. You know, take it out in the sunlight to get out. Okay, I respect people wanting to get the right color, but also, on this, embroidery thread is sold in these spools where you see the thread as a mass.
That's right.
Okay? And then when you hem something, you're only getting one strand.
And that's pretty much with any thread. The thread is darker on the spool than when you pull out a strand.
So we were just, I was so bad about this because it's like, I just don't care. I would use whatever purple I just
because
about.
That's what we did, right.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, I'm somebody who, like, makes my clothes, I paint, I do lots of things.
You just don't even hem at all.
Well, no, but I do lots of things with like color and fiber, but I'm not picky about it. I know some people are really picky. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of like a let it happen person. I'm like, this will be fun. You know, I will allow the colors to come into my life. And whereas other people are real control freaks about color. So I always found it difficult to go out in the parking lot with someone and be like,
and guess what? Might not be a match in the world.
Is it Floriani 364, 365, or 366? You know, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. You know, if I was smart, I would have been like, you should buy all 3.
I was gonna say, I used to. I'm gonna tell everybody about how I lie. I would go, 64 is perfect, and they would go, oh yeah, it is.
Well,
I mean, sometimes it just took like convincing
them.
Need
the power of suggestion,
right.
They needed
the permission to use it.
And that's sort of where I would love it if someone would just be like, this one. I'm like, okay, bye-bye. You know, see you later. I'll go hem my dress now. But anyway, you're not going to see this color a ton. Mm-hmm. It should match. And, of course, I wouldn't use, like, a lilac on
you
an
know,
eggplant.
You know, I probably wouldn't use black on yellow.
Sure.
You know?
Maybe. No, anyway, yes.
Depends on what you know.
But
you
just
do a decorative stitch at the hem if you want.
Keep it in that wheelhouse. But using embroidery thread on the serger is awesome. For this, it will keep
it
pretty
the other thing about having the lightweight is it's a finer thread and the thread doesn't show as much.
Yep.
And if you are doing this, now this is probably not the hem I would suggest for those flounces that are around your neck or up at the top, okay? We have another one we're going to talk about that I think is much more appropriate because the serger, you see that serger thread on the back side.
Well, let's talk. Yeah, so you do see it. You could if the hem
and if
flipped
it was
up
sheer,
or something. Yes.
If it was sheer and that was up at your neck, people might notice it more.
Right.
Again, test. Find out.
So then you go over to your sewing machine, though, after you 3TN the whole thing, and you put your machine on a 3mm straight stitch, and you just fold that serger stitch up once. Okay? So once again, we've given you, like, this fold line.
Yeah.
We've given you something to feel, something that makes it easy to fold, and you just stitch down the... you know, that hem allowance once. So like ZD said, if the hem flips up, the threads that you used on the serger would show. You want to make sure you're catching your layers. So you're going to be probably a scant quarter inch mm-hmm. as you fold up. But yeah, that's, I mean, that was a really long explanation for serge it and fold up.
Oh, okay. But here, we have forgotten one of the most important things. I can't believe neither you or I have said this. So another reason to stitch from the top, right, is because I am folding up a larger amount, right?
Uh-huh.
So I,
no matter how small,
even if I'm folding up a quarter inch, that outside perimeter, mm-hmm. right, is greater than the perimeter I'm folding up to.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts my greater amount of fabric on the feed dogs.
Yeah.
And the feed dogs, right, will help to ease that and keep that flat. And that's another reason you stitch from the top. Another reason you stitch from the top is you want to make sure it's looking good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's for sure.
But no, the whole idea about it being on the bottom, a lot of it has to do with that feed dog. That is what's taking it through and grabbing onto it.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a good
I can't believe you and I, neither one of us said that.
And, you know, if you've ever had this issue where, like, you fed fabric through and then your top fabric is shorter than your bottom fabric, or your bottom fabric right. shorter than your top fabric, or something, you've seen how when you're not paying attention, stuff can get off,
right?
You know, and this depends.
So anytime you have you're easing in, you want the greater amount of fabric on the bottom.
Yeah, if you can, that's what you want. Okay, all right, so now,
oh, you get so much with us. We just tell
you know
everything.
That's one thing I like about us.
Yeah, we're so thorough.
All right, sheer tiny hem.
This, oh, Mallory,
I know. You know, sometimes it's nice to have a little mutual admiration society going on. All right, you all are wonderful too, listeners. Okay, sheer tiny
hem. They have
hem.
To be, or they wouldn't be listening.
That's
to this.
Right.
Only magnificent people listen.
This one was one I did not know about before you made this video.
Yeah. And because, I will say this, in many, many, many instances, the narrow rolled hem on our serger,
or the rolled edge,
rolled edge, has taken place of
right.
it.
Right.
Okay. I had to use this, you know, in the good old days, especially when it was like horrible to come up with that rolled hem, and I had to, you know, test. Now, there have still been instances with fabric where I have had to use this. Okay.
Yeah.
And
it
the
happens.
You know, the serger just doesn't make it nice enough
it.
For me.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So this was a new hem to me when we made this video. I was not familiar with it. I was so impressed.
Right.
Also,
and this is really big for your flounces or
yeah.
your, you know, it's around your neck or on your sleeve, or, you know, a finish that's where people are going to see it.
Yeah.
Versus down at, you know, the foot of your dress.
Also, just super low profile.
Yes.
It is
super.
It's almost invisible.
It almost looks like you've just cut the fabric and
well,
it stayed there.
We used a brown sheer on this. It's got like a burnout kind of thing going on
yeah.
on it. And it almost looks like there is nothing there.
Right. Yeah, it's like magic.
And the Academy Awards just happened. I'm just saying, this part of the video would have won us like a cinematography award.
Because right.
we really showed you how this works.
Okay.
Really
I just
good.
Heard that someone's dress, and I won't name whose it was because it did look fantastic, that they had to do 14 fittings on her. And I'm like, then somebody doesn't know how to fit. Okay? Nothing should take 14
well,
fittings.
Well, who knows?
I mean, what are they talking about?
What they're talking about.
Well, I also think they got probably paid very well for
That's
each
right.
fitting. So maybe it was a good idea.
Need
I don't
another
know.
Another fitting.
14 fittings.
Okay.
You need to go back to fitting school. Yeah, go ahead.
And
the person, of course, had like this like tight little body. Like,
right.
You know.
Well, maybe it was, you know, for like this part of the dress and this part of the dress. You never know how these people are
I'm
structuring
sorry. 14
the work.
Fittings is a joke. They did that so they could talk about it. On the,
yeah,
you know, it was media
on
stuff.
The,
yeah.
On the,
yeah. Put this dress at 14 fittings. And my assessment is, then you don't know what you're doing. But anyway, everybody else is like, oh my gosh. Okay.
ZD's got a little different perspective. Okay, so sheer tiny hem. This is, we say, you know, for sheer. You could have used these other ones on sheer fabrics too.
And actually, this, yes, this is probably the one that doesn't work better on something that's not sheer.
Yeah, I wouldn't do this on a non-sheer.
No. This, I mean, yeah, I would be using that first tiny hem we did,
yes,
like on maybe a satiny, yeah, more satiny or rayon, like a flimsy, you know, flowy rayon.
Right.
This could be on a rayon too. This was, I actually used to call this my silk finish.
Okay.
Okay. Now we're calling it the sheer tiny hem. Here's the deal. More sheers got nicer in polyester,
oh, yeah,
and in rayon as time went on. Where maybe I used to use silk, I wasn't always using silk anymore.
Right. Okay, so sheer tiny hem. Okay, ready to get your mind blown.
Yep. This is so cool, you guys. You should just get some sheer fabric and try this and blow your mind.
It is. So, it's so,
yeah,
fun.
Like, right.
Okay, so you left your half inch hem allowance, right?
Right.
The previous hems have all then had you do some stitching or whatever at,
right,
a quarter inch,
mm-hmm,
not this one. Okay. So you're going to use your 2 millimeter straight stitch to stitch a half inch away from the raj of your,
right,
fabric.
Where you want your hem or the end of your whatever.
Whatever mabob to be.
Wherever you want that fabric to end is where you're going to stitch.
That's right. And that's kind of nice for shears because, once, mm-hmm, again, it's giving you a little more allowance, mm-hmm, over there to not get, like, sucked down, mm-hmm, in your machine or whatever. Okay?
And again, I would suggest the embroidery threads here or finer threads here.
Absolutely.
It's what works.
Yes.
And a good, sharp, brand new needle.
Yep.
I don't care what needle you're using.
Change it.
Just go get a new one.
Just change it right now. Okay. So you've done your half inch, your straight stitch around a half inch away from the raj. And then next, set your machine to a tiny zigzag, approximately 1.5 millimeter width and 1.5 millimeter length. Okay? That's what's written down here. Mm-hmm. CD's, you, mm-hmm, looking at it? No.
That is a starting point.
Yes.
Okay.
And test.
Okay. I think sometimes I've used a 1.
Right.
Okay. As far as a 1 in width.
Right.
Probably that 1.5 in length is pretty standard. So it's a tight stitch.
It's very tiny. Okay. And you're using that embroidery thread, mm-hmm, which means you can have the tight stitch without the thread buildup.
Without the buildup, okay, and the bulk.
So now you're going to, what we say is, fold up your fabric along your stitching line and then line up your fabric.
So the stitching line is the edge of your fabric.
Right. And then line, you interrupted me reading. Okay.
I'm sorry. Oh, you're reading.
Fold up your fabric along your stitching line, then line up your fabric so that the zigzag encases the folded edge of the fabric. When your needle swings to the right, it should just miss the edge of the fabric, mm-hmm, and enclose the folded edge.
So needle on, needle off.
Needle on, needle off. That's
so
right.
So it is going around the edge.
Okay.
It's burnishing the edge.
And you have a half inch folded up,
mm-hmm,
but then you only used 1.5 millimeters of,
right,
the edge. So inside of your garment up there, there's this flippy flappy.
There's a piece of fabric.
There's
left.
A little piece of fabric. With a raw edge. Right.
Uh-huh.
So then you take your duckbill scissors, or a nice way to do this. You,
right,
trim away
That flap
to the zigzag, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to get a ruler real quick. Say something into the, you. Oh, ZD's getting the ruler. Okay, I want to point out what the difference is between a 1.5 millimeter zigzag and then what a half inch is. What is that like? When I'm kind of looking at this, I mean, it's a good. If I'm looking at 2 millimeters,
yeah,
it's like almost a quarter of an inch or a little over a quarter of an inch that you're going to trim is what I'm saying.
It's everything you've folded up.
I know everything sounds really small right now.
Right.
But you are going to trim away a good little strip of fabric there.
Oh, it's like, did we leave a half inch?
We left a half inch. So it's a little under a half inch.
So, and here's what I guess I want you to know, when you're doing burnishing that edge with, you know, stitch needle on, stitch needle off, stitch needle on with that little tiny zigzag, that is, it's tightening up. It's rolling around the edge.
Yeah.
Okay. So it doesn't look flat. It kind of looks rolled. Now, when I say it looks rolled, it's microscopic.
It's really small. Right. But what you're saying is this. Okay, so what we were talking about earlier about how bobbin thread wraps around top thread.
Right.
That bobbin thread is wrapping around the top thread. And then you're going over into the fabric.
Right.
And that stitch then tightens up a little bit.
So that bobbin thread is pulling the top needle thread
just
like
a bit
to the bottom.
Yep.
Right.
So it is an approximation of what the serger
the
does.
Principle. With the same principle.
Same
is
principle
there. Yes.
Of the
yes.
serger
yes.
rolled
absolutely.
Edge, which is what's going on. It has the lower, you know,
and
the
you
serger.
Will not believe that this may sound really hard. Okay, now, some people are going to say, my machine won't do this, it won't stitch in the air or whatever.
Uh-huh.
That's when you're going to have to go to your water-soluble stabilizer.
Yes.
Okay.
So thank you for bringing that up.
Right.
Oh, I also have to say that I didn't notice this, but we got a comment, and in the paragraph that I was just reading, at one point it doesn't say zigzag, it says big bag.
Oh, I like that.
So I'll go edit that. You all won't see it. I'll edit it before.
You want the big bag to encase
it's like,
the
line up
edge.
Your fabric so that the big bag encases
well, I'm
the
glad she
edge.
Made a comment. Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay,
thank you.
So if you're, and then we say, if your machine's feed dogs will not support such delicate work, use water-soluble stabilizer or tearaway. Really? Water soluble would be better.
The problem with the tearaway is you could actually tear away the stitches.
Well, it'll just get caught up in your zigzag.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could, water soluble.
So the water soluble stabilizer sort of use a very lightweight one, like something that's used for a topping on terry cloth towels or something. And when you do that, it's like a saran wrap, but that has more body. Okay, so it gives your machine something to form a stitch around if your machine doesn't like sewing in the air. And you just cut yourself little strips and just lay them along the hem as you go.
Yes.
And then you're...
This is when people go, why would I save this little strip for
this? Oh, for this. Yeah, that's why you have your bag of water-soluble stabilizer strips or
little
scraps.
Zippy bag.
But when you have that... You're not going to necessarily have to get the garment wet after
because
you've done such a small zigzag. If you gently support your stitches and pull away that water soluble.
And when you say support your stitches, is you hold the stitches and then pull away. Because you're perforating so close, it usually will come off. And if there is anything, it's clear. And actually, if you have time, the air will dissolve it.
Yeah, a lot of
times.
You
don't even have to spritz it or steam it or anything.
Yeah,
the air
if you just tear that away, it'll be so small. And then you're going to trimmed your raw edge, as well. And okay, so if you use the stabilizer, you may want to leave the stabilizer while you trim.
And I would try both ways.
Yeah,
it depends on the fabric.
See what happens. But yes. Yeah, give it a shot. The duckbill scissors are so nice because you can, especially with a sheer fabric, you can really see where the blade is going.
We really need to make a video of trimming fabric away with
duckbill
and how we
do it
on all these
backwards
things. Yes, people do it backwards or they,
I understand.
Believe me, I know how to screw it up because I've done it.
Yep. Exactly. That's why we know about these things, right?
Right. I know absolutely how to screw it up.
Yeah. The duckbill scissors are also like offset scissors. And so they make it easy to not, you know, if you keep everything flat, if you keep everything parallel to the floor, it makes it easier not to cut a V into your fabric.
And I haven't had people ask me, do I get the big pair or the small pair? Because I think they come like in 4-inch and 7-inch.
There are so many.
Okay, we have both.
The answer is get all of them.
Yeah, we have both. I probably prefer the smaller ones.
I think there are three sizes because there is a mini.
There's probably 100 sizes.
Okay, yeah, there's like a mini
size. I really prefer the 4-inch.
The medium, yeah.
If I had to choose to get one pair first, I would get the 4s.
Yeah.
And some are offset and some are not.
Yeah, and I have these. I have the Tula Pink ones. They're the Tula Pink 6-inch duckbill scissors.
Well, I like those a lot too.
Yeah. So, but there is like a real big pair.
Yeah.
Out there. And actually, sometimes what the big pair is good for is in the hoop in stuff.
The, in the hoop
it allows you to
machine.
Reach in.
Yeah, you've got now, more room.
Okay, so the big ones are good because if you have to leave the hoop on the machine to trim, great.
Right.
But then the little ones are good if you're taking the hoop out and you need to get close to the edge
well,
of the hoop.
Well, so. The other thing about the big ones is the blade is truly longer.
Oh, yes.
So sometimes you get to clip more. So again, here we go. If I'm in a small, real curvy spot, I probably want the smaller ones. If I'm in a larger... Now... Somebody might say, well, what's the difference between 6 and 4 inches? Well, yeah, it's 2, but the difference in the blade is not 2.
I'm not exactly sure how
well,
all that works.
I'm sure it depends on the manufacturer.
Yes. Well, like we said, if you were having trouble visualizing any of these techniques, there is a fabulous video. And you just go to sewhere.com and search Tiny Hem, and you'll find it. And I'll link to it in the episode notes as well. So we just want to thank you all for listening to us talk about tiny hems for an hour. It will...
And you can say you know someone that can do that.
That's right. You will save so much time if you can use these techniques.
Right. And again, anytime you come across a technique like this or something, honestly, don't wait for a project. Do it. Keep it in your little notebook, you know, or whatever. Keep the sample and, you know... keep it as a reference.
Yes. And so, people all the time, oh, you sew. Can you hem my daughter's prom dress? Can you hem this, that, and the other thing?
And sometimes on a prom dress, you might use all these techniques.
Yeah, you might use different ones.
I mean, a wedding dress, like every single layer
I'm
might be something
so
different.
I'm just having so many David's Bridal flashbacks now is what I'm just having. I can, like, smell the place.
Well, we used to have to develop how we were going to hem things there
Right. So anyway, this will help you figure that stuff out. It's not a big, bulky hem. It's professional looking, even with the most basic of equipment.
That's right.
So that's what I like about it. That's what I like about us, Mom.
Yeah.
That's just what I love about, you know.
Yeah, we just figure it. We have it all figured out.
Okay, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. You can get a hold of us at Mallory@sewhere.com. We're on Instagram @sewhere.com. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.